The court will proceed to the fifth case, In Re Molding Systems Engineering. Mr. Crowder.
Good morning, Your Honors. My name is Jason Crowder. May it please the court. I represent John Hauer in this appeal. A little bit of background is probably going to be necessary. There are a number of appeals pending at the district court. This appeal is from the bankruptcy court's decision to allow a sale of all of the bankruptcy debtor's assets to a corporation that essentially was owned by, or I guess was owned by, the same shareholders who owned the debtor corporation. A companion case to this one, and I don't know if the court will have any questions regarding that, is a case that resulted from a judicial estoppel argument against my client at the bankruptcy level on a proof of claim. And the judicial estoppel argument was agreed with by the bankruptcy court and resulted in a second appeal to the district court. My client, John Hauer, received a state court judgment against Molding Systems prior to Molding filing bankruptcy. At the point in time that Hauer attempted collection on that state court judgment, Molding went into bankruptcy, and it resulted in the turn of events that has resulted in us being here today. The single issue that I see it that we are here today to address is the district court's decision to dismiss our appeal regarding the sale of the corporation to the insiders. The district court addressed the 363M, which was the issue, which is basically the issue of having to receive a stay of the sale in order to avoid mootness. The problem with the district court's decision was that it did not address the good faith finding and the challenge to the good faith finding by my client, Mr. Hauer, when he entered his motion to dismiss. The court's motion to the memorandum and order of Judge Reagan, the district court judge, is within the required short appendix, and he gave no consideration to good faith. He did not analyze good faith and didn't even acknowledge that good faith was being challenged as to the sale. This court simply concluded that because no stay was granted, because the stay was not implemented, that the appeal had to be moot. But the clear reading of Section 363M is that the only time you need to get a stay in order to avoid mootness is if it's not. If you do have a good faith purchaser. In our situation, we do not have what we allege to be a good faith purchaser, and therefore the stay would not be necessary. Because Judge Reagan did not take that into consideration in his memorandum and order, this court should therefore reverse his decision and remand it so that the appeal could be heard on its merits, and the merits being, one of the merits being, the challenge to the good faith finding. I think it's important, again, to point out that the motion to dismiss, which was filed after the briefs had been submitted to the district court, or in the same time frame that the briefs were being submitted to the district court, did not suggest and did not argue that there was good faith. The Molding, when they filed their motion to dismiss, simply alleged there's no stay, and therefore it's moot because the court can't do anything about it. So it'd be my position that this court really doesn't have to address whether or not there is good faith, because the district court did not reach that issue, failed to reach that issue because of a misunderstanding in 363M, or because of just not understanding that it was at issue, this court should remand it for the district court to hear it on the merits, But if the court, if this court were to take into consideration good faith in this case to see whether or not 363M should apply, then it's our position that the molding systems cannot prove that good faith existed. Our basic argument is from the standpoint of you have a purchaser who is, in fact, the seller. The two shareholders of molding, the debtor, were Andrew Schutz and Anthony King. Two people owned the debtor. The purchasing corporation was owned by Andrew Schutz and Anthony King. Same two people. And the sole purpose of creating this corporation, this corporation to buy the assets, was basically to rid itself of the unsecured debt that this corporation, this debtor corporation, had accumulated, one of which was my client. Another reason to suggest there was no good faith is that there's no evidence in the record to support good faith. I think it's incumbent upon a moving party, in this particular instance the debtor, who wants to sell their assets, to prove that good faith existed. In this particular instance, the court heard no evidence at the hearing on June 7, 2004. Molding Systems, the debtor, at the end of argument on the motion, handed up two affidavits of Andrew Schutz and Anthony King and essentially said, we would like to submit this in support of our position as evidence. I objected to that, and the court, and this is in the appendix, page 177, entered an order striking the affidavits, indicating that the affidavits had not been taken into consideration in deciding the motion.
Is it true that Mr. Howard didn't disclose his position as a creditor of molding in his personal bankruptcy?
That is true. And to give you some background on that, and that's not really in terms of the record on that issue, is not in front of the court. It's not made part of this record on appeal, because as I said before, there's a companion appeal that did not get consolidated. I moved to consolidate them, didn't get motion to consolidate got denied. So it's a separate appeal, and that record is separate. But back in 1997. John Howard down in Florida filed a pro se bankruptcy. On his pro se petition, he did not list that he had a pending lawsuit against Molding Systems. What happened thereafter was essentially that, 8 years later, probably 7 or 8 years later, he gets a state court judgment against Molding. They have every opportunity to raise those issues prior to the state court judgment being rendered, and he gets a judgment in excess of $500,000. And then the bankruptcy case came forward and proof of claims were filed. And it was only at the time that the proof of claim was filed that molding raised the issue of judicial estoppel. So that is an issue that has to be addressed. And in light of the fact that recently Judge Murphy at the district court affirmed Judge Fines' denial of our proof of claim, that's going to have to be something that ultimately a decision will have to be made whether to address that here at the Seventh Circuit. I was discussing if the court decided to go down the path of deciding whether good faith existed, and I had indicated that there was no evidence of good faith put on by molding. In addition, I wanted to point to the court that it's interesting that when the debtor filed bankruptcy, they were obviously doing business, continuing to do business, filed a Chapter 11. They also filed a motion for authority to enter into additional leases, indicating that they had received new orders or had the ability to get new business that would result in $2.5 million in revenue. Interestingly enough, after that motion for authority enter into additional leases had been filed, it was shortly thereafter withdrawn, and a motion to sell the assets to the newly formed corporation was filed. To me, that sounds like a corporation that knows that if you can as a purchaser, sell its assets, and then take these new leases or take these new orders in the name of the new corporation. That to me sounds like collusion, which is what would be necessary to indicate that there is no good faith. If there are no additional questions, I'll reserve two minutes for rebuttal.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Crowder. Mr. Wallace.
Good morning. May it please the court. Steve Wallace from Molding Systems. Your Honor, this gets down to the same issue the court addressed in Vetter, CGI, Rock Island, and on, and that's the question of mootness of an appeal from a sale order once the sale is closed. In this case, there's a finding in the court's order approving the sale under Section 363M that Molding Services is a good faith purchaser. Molding Services closed on its sale. There was no stay obtained prior to the closing. That closing having occurred, this appeal is moot. And the court's authority makes that abundantly clear. As to whether or not there is good faith within the contemplation of Section 363M, I would submit to Your Honor, even though there may be no direct testimony from the principals of Molding Services, Your Honor, we acted in good faith. There is other evidence before the court throughout the record that there is good faith. First of all, there is no evidence of any inappropriate conduct that would cast doubt upon the integrity of the bidding process. And that's key, as recognized by this court in its prior decisions. There's no evidence of collusion between the buyer and any other bidders. There's no evidence that the buyer or the debtor hid information from any other potential bidders. Moreover, the sale was concluded at a time when the debtor's principal secured creditor had obtained relief from the automatic stay and had the right to go out and start carting away the debtor's assets. Number four, Mr. Hauer was given an additional 30 days in which to either submit his own bid or find other bidders for the debtor's assets. He did submit a bid, which was, in effect, not a viable bid because he attempted to credit bid his unsecured claim, and that simply can't occur, and Section 363K makes that clear, that a secured creditor can credit bid, an unsecured creditor can't do that. The secured creditors consented to the sale.
And they opposed the sale to Hauer, did they?
To Hauer, the secured creditors opposed the sale to Mr. Hauer. They consented, however, to the sale to Molding Services. So I would submit, even though there may not be direct evidence in the form of testimony from Molding Services principals that we acted in good faith, there's plenty of evidence in the record to support a finding by the court that that Molding Services is, in fact, a good faith purchaser. There's another issue with respect to Rule 62 that was raised. There is a reference in the order to Rule 7062 of the Bankruptcy Rules of Bankruptcy Procedure. However, there's also a reference to the fact that the order was not to be stayed for a period of 10 days as contemplated under Section 3, or that might otherwise be the case under Rule 6004G. Bankruptcy Rule 6004G says an order approving a sale is stayed for 10 days unless the court says otherwise. In this case, the court said otherwise. Therefore, there was no stay. The passing reference to Rule 7062 in the court's order approving the sale certainly doesn't counteract the fact that the court found there was no stay under Rule 6004G. Finally, Mr. Hauer has raised an issue concerning the report of sale that was filed and whether or not there was any credible evidence of a closing having occurred. I would submit to the court there's a report of sale that's filed, signed by an officer of the court. There was opportunity to tab discovery of the debtor or of the buyer to determine whether or not, in fact, the closing had occurred. No such discovery was had. Therefore, Your Honor, I would submit the report of sale stands as the only credible evidence, the only evidence in the record that, in fact, the sale had closed, and that was submitted by the debtor and signed by an officer of the court. Finally, with respect to Mr. Hauer's standing, as counsel indicated, Judge Murphy's recent decision is not before the court at the present time, but he did in fact find that Mr. Hauer had filed a bankruptcy in 1997 or 1999, did not schedule his claim against Molding Systems as an asset of his bankruptcy estate, and the decisions there are replete that he is therefore judicially estopped from now asserting that he is in fact a creditor of the estate of Molding Systems, and therefore when it ultimately winds its way to this court, we would presume there would be a conclusion that he lacks standing to prosecute this claim as well as this appeal. But if the court has no further questions, I'll conclude my argument.
All right. Thank you, Mr.
Thank Wallace. You for the court's time.
Thank you. Mr. Crowder?
With respect to the report of sale, that became an important issue based on Judge Reagan's memorandum and order, which basically said report of sale, which happened to be filed on June 24th, indicated that the sale date occurred on June 8th of 2004, one day after the order granting the sale. The Molding suggests, well, we could have done some discovery to determine whether or not that actual sale did in fact take place. I think the important thing to recall, to remember in that regard, is that our request for discovery on the sale issues themselves, Rule 2005 examination requests of the shareholders, Anthony King and Andrew Schutz, were denied by the bankruptcy court. Our attempts at discovery were basically refuted by the bankruptcy court, and that is an issue that was raised at the district court level and would have been addressed had the appeal been allowed to proceed. With respect to the standing issue, if I could make one comment on the standing issue, even if this court affirmed the district court, Judge Murphy's decision that the judicial estoppel prevented my client from having a claim in the bankruptcy, it doesn't mean he didn't have standing to come in and make an offer to buy the assets of debtor. So that would mean that this appeal is not moved. And furthermore, it doesn't mean that if this court reversed the bankruptcy court and said that the sale was to an insider and not in good faith, doesn't mean that my client wouldn't have the ability at that point to gain something from that, because he still has a state court judgment, and with the state court judgment, no discharge to corporations, if a plan wasn't achieved by Molding, my client would be in a position to pursue assets. So I think they're still standing irrespective, but it's obviously something that is something that can be addressed in the other appeal.
All right. Thank you, Scott. Thank you, Mr. Wallace. Safe trip home, and case taken under advisement.